Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
This is the Cale Clark Show, and this is Cale Clark. Glad to be with you on this Easter Octave Day. It's Thursday, the 4th of April, 2024. So good to be with you. Here's the number that you can call for free to talk to me, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Always good to hear from you. Become a shadow producer. Give me a show idea, Cale at relevantradio.com. You can also find me, of course, on the X app, formerly known as Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. All right, we're going to talk about anxiety today. And if you're anxious because you can't get through on the phones, we're going to fix that problem for you in just a moment. Producer Jim, you might want to alert the crew about the phones. And we will get you through right away. 888-914-9149. Last one ends a rotten egg, so call right now. At any rate, anxiety, worry. Ever struggle with that? Hey, listen, my hand's the first one up in the air. I've been dealing with it all my life. And let me tell you that, it's been an issue for me. And I used to love that line in the old translation of the Mass, the old English translation of the Mass. I don't know if you remember this, but protect us from all anxiety. It was right after the Our Father, of course, in the Eucharistic liturgy, right before communion. Remember, it used to say this. This was the one we had before 2011. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now the translation's a little bit different now. And so instead of protect us from all anxiety, the priest now says, by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress. I don't know if I like that as much, to be honest with you. That's one time I kind of missed the old translation, but... And now the actual Latin word in the official translation, the official Roman Missal. Have you ever been perturbed at somebody or something or some situation? Well, that's kind of the root of what's here. Perturbatione. Perturbatione. And so you can translate that in a bunch of different ways in English. Disorder, disquiet, confusion. And so you could translate it as anxiety as well. And certainly anxiety is something that we've been living with for a lot of years now, ever since the advent of COVID in 2020. And we've been through, I don't want to revisit that, that's for sure. But I can't even believe some of the stuff actually happened looking back on it. But the world has not been any less anxiety-inducing, what with all kinds of wars and rumors of wars, to quote the New Testament, what Jesus says in the Gospels. There are all kinds of actual situations that are just absolutely horrific from a human perspective, certainly anxiety-inducing. And that's not even to say anything about what's going on in our personal lives. A lot of people, every time I look at X, every time I look at Twitter, there are people in the broadcasting industry that are losing their jobs. A bunch of people from the NFL Network lost their jobs today. And this has been sort of a trend that's happening in all kinds of different fields. The cost of living keeps going up and up and up. Our governments are really spending like drunken sailors in many ways. And you guys can, some of you guys can probably remember this. I remember this when I was a kid. Do you remember when mortgage rates and interest rates were somewhere around like 18% back in the 1980s? I mean, we could see those days again. I certainly hope they don't ever get that high again, but these are just some of the things that fuel our anxiety from a human perspective. So how do we beat anxiety? How do we beat anxiety? Well, I'm going to talk to you about it from a natural perspective, number one, and then we're going to go into the supernatural perspective, because there, I think there are some things that we can do, humanly speaking, to work with this. I guess you could say it's an emotion, anxiety, and how can we deal with this on a practical level? But then I'm also going to give you the ultimate answer to this, which comes from Christ, from the risen Christ. It has to be a supernatural answer. So 888-914-9149. If you ever struggled with anxiety and Christ has helped you to overcome it, if you've got some tips for our listeners, love to hear them. 888-914-9149. Just going to bring producer Jim in for a second. Can you hear me, producer Jim? Okay, great. Just noticing the phones look like there's something going on there. Is that just me, or is that okay? Thank you. Just didn't want to. There we go. 888-914-9149. All right, so you can call in. We've got them fixed now. Technical issues are dealt with. So, all right. So let's talk about this from a human perspective. This question of anxiety. There was a really interesting piece that came out in Time magazine, and it was actually written by some researchers who educate people on this condition of anxiety and how to sort of overcome it. And there's a survey that was done back in 2021. And again, this was kind of at the height of COVID. And they figured out that the survey was done of more than 3,000 adults. 47% of those 3,000 adults reported feelings of anxiety. And essential workers, those who were on the front lines during COVID, 54% of them, nurses and people like that, they actually admitted to coping in some pretty unhealthy ways. A lot of them turned to alcohol, overeating, and they kind of use this to deal with the emotional pain. So if you've experienced anxiety, you know that it could just do a lot of, it could do a number on you. And one of the things that happens to you is that your heart rate can increase. You can experience headaches, stomach issues. And one of the things that happens when you're really stressed out is there's a stress hormone that's released into your body called cortisol. And that can kind of help you in the moment when you're in a stressful physical situation, like somebody's chasing you, or you know, you've got to take to your heels and you really need that adrenaline rush. If you're constantly finding yourself in a state of stress, cortisol can build up in your system and it can really cause some long-term damages if it's just kind of constantly coursing through you. So when you feel anxiety, you get, you know, this elevated heart rate. Sometimes you'll get headaches, you'll get a release of cortisol into your system. And the body sort of interprets that as danger is in the air. And it's a little bit like, when this is happening all the time, it could be a problem. And by the way, there's more than one thing that can cause anxiety. There's social anxiety, for example. And sometimes people who experience this, they have this sort of sense that maybe everybody dislikes you. Maybe if one person doesn't like you, you might think, well, maybe everyone dislikes me. If you're anxious about how you might do at work or with a specific project that you're looking at, that you're working on, performance anxiety, as it's known, you think, man, I'm the only one who's experiencing this. I'm about to give this big presentation at work and I am stressed out. And maybe it's just me. Maybe no one else does this, or you're a singer about to take the stage. Well, imposter syndrome, everybody's had it. I don't care who you are or what you do. I don't care what people say. If you've never experienced that, I don't think you're telling the truth. We all have been there. And there's a way to deal with that. There's a way to deal with that. And so there's a neuroscientist that it mentions in the Time magazine piece, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. Her name is Wendy Suzuki, and she's written a book called Good Anxiety. You think, wow, how could anxiety possibly be good for you? Well, it's all in the way that you look at it. You have to kind of reframe it. So she reframes it as a potentially positive force in life. And it can actually make you a little bit more self-aware to look after yourself, self-care as it's known. It can make you more resilient. And that can help you to be less stressed. Okay, that sounds like a pretty good deal. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about stress. If you've experienced anxiety and you overcome that, love to know how. Maybe you've got some tips for us. We're going to talk about the spiritual antidote to this in just a couple of minutes. But we're talking about right now the natural antidote to it. Here's some things that you can do just on a human level, forget about a superhuman level, to take care of this and actually kind of make it work for you. So Wendy Suzuki, in her book Good Anxiety, says that anxiety, you can kind of just turn it around. If you're aware, let's say you've got the social jitters, you're a little bit nervous about a social event that's happening, maybe it's a company party or gathering, a big meeting. If you've got the jitters, maybe you could kind of turn that around and say, I need support. I need somebody to help me with this. If you're nervous about your performance, you might think, well, maybe I don't really have my presentation down. Maybe I need to go back to my slides, to my PowerPoint deck, and make sure that it's in order, make sure I've got my notes down. Maybe I just need to practice a little bit. So anxiety in these ways, if you're anxious, sometimes it can be a good messenger for you, and it can make you kind of aware that you need to do something here. It can benefit you psychologically. And so this is a symptom that it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it can be out of control. Some people, it does become something that they need sort of therapy for. But I think it's better to look for the underlying cause. And that's one of the things that it mentions in the article. Be a detective. Ask yourself some questions. If you're experiencing anxiety, ask yourself, how is it showing up in my body right now? What am I feeling? What is it telling me? What's the emotion that's underneath the anxiety? What's really at the core here? Because that's what we really want to focus on. And so we all have core emotions. They can be things like sadness, anger, fear, excitement, joy, even disgust. You know, it's an emotion. And that can affect your entire body. And sometimes it's a good thing. If you're fearful, if you're being chased by an apex predator, if you're a mountain lion or something, it can get you going, make you move in a way that can help you to survive. And so this is really a good thing at its core. And sometimes these emotions can exist more than one at a time. You can be angry and fearful, for example, at the same time. But there's another set of emotions called inhibitory emotions. So these are not the core emotions. They're different. And these aren't necessarily good to have. I don't think there's any real upside to these ones. Anxiety, guilt, and shame. Those are the inhibitory emotions. So that's what you need to understand. There's a difference between these core emotions, sadness, anger, fear, disgust, joy, excitement, and inhibitory emotions like anxiety, guilt, and shame that can actually stop you from, I guess you could say, living your best life. And so you got to kind of know what the relationship between these things are. So here's some tools that you can use to help anxiety work in your favor. Again, this is just from a human perspective. We're going to get into the supernatural perspective in Christ, especially post-Easter, in just a couple of minutes here on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. The first tool that the researchers mention is this. Number one, you've got to acknowledge it. Acknowledge the anxiety exists. And they mention an example of sometimes when we talk to children, and I've had to do this with my own daughter, and maybe you have too if you're a parent. Adults often tell children, hey, use your words. When they've got big feelings happening, when they're kind of overwhelmed by emotion, tell them, use your words. Describe what you're feeling. And the same thing can be true with anxiety. If you name it, if you label it, say, I'm feeling anxious right now. That can actually really help. Just simply talking about it. It can calm down the part of your brain that's called the amygdala. And the amygdala, this is the part of the brain that kind of regulates the fight or flight response. It's a really, really important part of the brain. So that's an important thing to do. You've got to name it and say, listen, I got to admit to myself, I'm feeling anxious here. And this is a good thing, too, because there's a psychiatrist and author, Dr. Dan Siegel. He has a book called Mindsight. That's kind of a cool title, Mindsight. And he says that when you sort of label what you're feeling, then it kind of loses its power over you, because then the right part of your brain and the left part of your brain, then it becomes connected again. It becomes connected when you sort of talk about what's going on. That does make sense. So that's a good thing to know. Also, the researchers say that some of their patients say that when they obsess over their mistakes, They obsess over things that they've done, mistakes that they've made, and they just keep going over and over and over these things in their minds. And I think there's a certain type of personality that does that, especially if you're an analyst type of personality. You're always going to want to minimize your mistakes. It's part of your self-identity. And so when you do make a mistake, you often go over the same thing in your mind. What could I have done differently? And sometimes we ruminate a lot about work, about situations that are going on at work. These are common anxious symptoms. So again, you got to label it. You got to say, I'm feeling anxious right now. I'm feeling anxious right now. They call it the click of recognition. Just acknowledge it. And that kind of disarms it at some level. Because if you don't sort of admit to yourself what's going on, you're going to try to cover it up with something else. Maybe through an obsessive overworking, denial. You might turn to one of those medicating addictions that kind of maybe numb your pain short term, but they're going to create even more problems for you long term and complicate your lives even more. So you don't want those kind of band-aids. It's better to just name it and deal with the issue. So that's number one. You acknowledge it. Number two, there's four tools that they mentioned. Number two is to slow it down. Slow your anxiety down. Well, how do you do that? It's really by slowing your whole body down. And you can do that with breathing. Now, this is something that I've been reading a lot about recently, this phenomenon of controlling your breath. Peak athletes, pro athletes will often do this to ease the tension in their bodies, especially at a critical point of pressure, maybe in a NCAA championship game or something like that, or a golfer, having to hit a shot, over the water on hole 15 at the Masters or something like that, or the 12th hole. You've got to really breathe and kind of loosen those big muscles, or else you get really, really tense, the muscles get tight, and you're gonna chunk the shot. Like Jordan Spieth did a few years ago. Anyways, I don't want to bring that up, Jordan. But anyways, neuroscientists say that there's this nerve in your body. And if you, there's so much chatter about this on the X app, by the way. If you just kind of search for this term, the vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S, the vagus nerve. That's a huge nerve in your body, emanates from your brain, and it triggers the relaxation response of your body. So when you breathe deeply, when you breathe using your diaphragm, it actually kind of triggers this vagus nerve and the relaxation response in your body. So this can really help, obviously, with reducing stress, anxiety, your cortisol. Remember that stress hormone, that starts to decrease and you feel almost immediately some form of relief. So breathing techniques are really interesting. And there are different ways to do this. Andrew Huberman on his famous Huberman Lab podcast, he talks about taking two quick breaths in and then sort of a sigh, releasing a sigh. I've heard Navy SEALs talk about this thing that they do called box breathing. Box breathing is really interesting. I've actually tried that. I like that because it's easy to remember. Think of a square, a box with four sides. And so you just take in your breath. You take a deep breath for 4 seconds. You take that deep breath and then you hold it for 4 seconds, and then you exhale for 4 seconds, and then you breathe in. I think you'd actually just stay still for 4 more seconds, and then you breathe in again. So that's the box. You breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and then just do nothing for 4 seconds, and then start the process over again. So if you just do that a few times, do a few cycles of that box breathing, it will calm you down. It will slow your anxiety down. So this is really interesting because these researchers say that when their patients come in, they try to get them out of their brain and into their body. And this is how they slow down their anxiety. Can you give yourself permission to move away from your thoughts and into your body? And they'll say things to the patients like, think about the soles of your feet as they're touching the floor and sort of feel the ground beneath you. And sort of, just realize, yeah, okay, let's get out of my brain a little bit, more into my physical body. And that will hopefully, again, calm some of these anxious thoughts, use your body to breathe, really important. So that's the second thing. So the first thing is acknowledge the anxiety exists. Number two, slow it down, especially with your body and with breathing. Number three, get curious about these core emotions, If you're asking questions like, why do I feel this way? Get curious about why you're anxious. That can be a good way to look at this. And so don't be judgmental towards yourself. Say, I shouldn't be feeling like this. Why am I so anxious all the time? Do sort of this imaginary body scan from head to toe. Where are you feeling the anxiety? Is it your heart? Is your heart racing? That sort of thing. Is it your stomach? Is it tight? And ask yourself, what emotions do I have here? Do I feel sad? Do I feel angry? Maybe it's an overexcitement about something that's happening. So there can be more than one of these core emotions present. And again, you can have more than one at the same time. You can be sad and angry at the same time, for example. So get curious about the emotions and why you have them. And then the last thing is, number four, identify the conflict. Identify the conflict. Because if you are anxious about something, it could be symptomatic of an inner conflict. And the example that they give in the article is, let's say a big holiday is coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, that kind of thing, maybe the Easter holidays, and you want to go home for the holidays, and you're sort of looking forward to that. There's an excitement there at some level, but there's also a sense of dread because you want to see them, but you don't want to see them sometimes. Your family, extended family, maybe your parents. If you've had some bad dealings with them, or there's some stress, some tense moments in the relationship. And so how do you get out of that? Well, there's sort of this balancing act that's going on. So they say you've got to change the but to an and, to an and. So for example, you could say, I want to see my family, but at the same time, you can honor maybe the anger that their past hurtful behaviors have evoked in you. So you could say, hey, I want to see them. And instead of saying, but I'm worried about the fact I might have a fight with my dad, you could say, I want to see them and I'm going to have good, healthy boundaries this time. So you could say like, hey, dad, if you're going to yell at me, I'm just going to have to just leave the situation. I'm just going to leave the house for a bit. So at any rate, that's identifying the conflict. Just kind of being aware of these things is half the battle, like G.I. Joe says. So acknowledge anxiety, number one. Slow it down, number two, especially using breathing techniques. It stimulates that vagus nerve so that you can calm down, you can relax. Get curious about the core emotions. Why are you feeling these emotions, especially of anxiety? And number four, identify the conflict. And so there's so many, I guess you could say, myths about this emotion of anxiety. Sometimes society wants to send you a message that if you are feeling anxiety, there must be something wrong with you. You must be a defective human. If you really had control of yourself, you wouldn't be feeling this way. But these are all really, really negative ways of looking at things. And I like this perspective of turning anxiety from an enemy into a friend. It can tip you off to things that are really going on. And you got to figure out why these feelings, these emotions are happening. And that can help you. It's only human to feel this way. Well, right after the break here on the Cale Clark Show, we're going to talk about maybe the supernatural antidote to anxiety. And the risen Christ can certainly help us with that. Plus your phone calls, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. I ain't worried about it.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. We're talking about anxiety. Protect us from all anxiety, like that prayer in the Mass. You used to say the one that comes right at the end of the Our Father. And a little funny story for you, by the way. At my wedding Mass, my best man, Batsarai, he's from an evangelical background, and I had forgotten to tell him the way that we do the Lord's Prayer in the Mass, the Our Father. There's that little interim, right, before deliver us from evil, and then, you know, we pray this prayer, and of course, it used to say this, Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, now that's changed to, protect us from all anxiety is changed to, by the help of your mercy, that we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress. But at any rate, then after that we say, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Well, I forgot to tell him about that little interim prayer there, and it's called, I think it's called a pulmonary prayer or something like that. And it certainly stopped the heart of my best man at the wedding, because as soon as the priest said, as soon as we all said, deliver us from evil, it was all quiet. And then he started shouting out, for thine is the kingdom, the power. And I was, and then he realized he was the only one talking, and it was kind of embarrassing, but it was fun. It was a funny moment. It was a funny moment. But anxiety is no laughing matter, that's for sure. And just before the break, we talked about maybe how to deal with it from a human perspective, what the best researchers have shown us about how to combat anxiety. But of course, they're not looking at it from a supernatural perspective, from a Catholic perspective. And so we know that grace builds on nature. It never cancels it out. It never destroys our human nature, but simply elevates it. And that's what we've got to do right now. But before we kind of give the supernatural antidote, I want to take a couple phone calls here. Let's go to Nick in Frankfort, Illinois. Hi, Nick.
Keel, it's a pleasure to be with you. Always like to listen to you. You know, it's funny, the person that took my call got back on and he said, we're going to take your call in a minute. And I was on the road and talk about anxiety. I said, oh, I got it. I'm getting a little anxious. I need to pull over now. So there's so many forms of anxiety. And I think some of the anxiety, the greatest way to get over it is to think of the Lord looking down on us and laughing at us over the things we get anxious of. And I love the way you started the show and you said the supernatural and the natural. And I think that when we start with the supernatural remedies, obviously through the sacraments, it leads us to realize that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that will lead us to the natural remedies as far as taking care of ourselves and sleeping. And if we notice when we don't sleep well, we make wrong decisions. We make short decisions.
So true.
We're impatient with ourselves. We eat the wrong things. We get anxious about all kinds of things. And when we do get the right sleep, we eat right, our anxious can be a healthy anxiety. For instance, I'm going to go to Mass tomorrow and I feel refreshed. I'm going to have a workout today, and I feel really refreshed about it because I did all the right things. And I just love the correlation between the natural and the supernatural. If we start on that natural realm, hopefully it leads us to the supernatural, realizing that God gave us the natural ability to overcome this anxiety. And then supernaturally, through the recognition of the sacraments, it should lead us to the natural gifts that God gives us to overcome this anxiety. But then always in the end, we know that the Lord has a sense of humor. And I like to say to myself, in the big things, I had a death scare years ago, and in the big things, I know the Lord has me covered. But when I want to get through that red light, it's like, come on, Lord, I got to go here.
No, and Nick, by the way, no need for you to be anxious. You're among friends here on the Cale Clark Show. So glad that you listened and so glad that you called in. I'm glad you pulled over and, had a safe phone call for sure. But yeah, I had this kind of smile when you said the Lord kind of laughs at our anxiety sometimes. Like, why are you guys worried about this stuff? I've got this. I've got you. Yeah, it's so true. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Some of the supernatural remedies for anxiety. And I think it's going to be hopefully really helpful for us. And Easter time is a great, great time to talk about this. Nick, thank you so much for your call and for listening, and call back anytime now. That was Nick in Frankfort, Illinois. Let's go to Javier in Texas, somewhere in Texas. Javier, how are you doing?
Thank you, Cale. You're singing my song today. Yeah, I experience anxiety all the time. And I know the Bible says, hey, do not be afraid many, many times, right? So I'm a faithful Catholic. I try to go daily Mass, and I believe everything. I know the Holy Spirit gives us courage. But I have a lot of anxiety, social anxiety especially. And I'm like, I believe everything, but just I'm afraid, right? I think anxiety is being afraid, basically. So I want to reconcile
that's
that.
That's interesting. I like that. I like that that analogy. That it may be a species of fear in some ways, and that's That's one of the great imperatives, one of the great commands in the Bible, be not afraid. It may appear more than any other command in the Bible. And I just want to read really quickly. Thank you very much for that call. And we'll try to maybe sort some of this out in the next few minutes and listen to what I have to say. And hopefully it's helpful to you. But when we look at today's gospel, this comes to us again from Luke 24. This is actually my favorite resurrection appearance of Jesus in the New Testament. I wrote this big, long paper. I really researched this to the hilt when I was in grad school. In Luke 24, and this, of course, is right after the road to Emmaus account, which we talked about yesterday on the show. Revelation Road, if you will, the road to Emmaus. This is from Luke 24, verse 35 through 48. It says, the disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And this is, of course, these are, of course, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that encountered him. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Now, the actual translation of that word is actually they thought they were seeing a spirit. But you might say that's splitting hairs, but I could delve deeply. I'm not going to do this because it's really a rabbit trail here. But then he said to them, Jesus said to them, why are you troubled and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. And again, he's saying this to them because he's still sporting the wounds from his ordeal. That's how they know it's heavy. You know, his resurrected body is obviously a little bit different, but it's still there's still continuity. And they can see the wounds. Touch me and see, he says, because a ghost or a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you can see that I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And so when Jesus says to them, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? I think that can be applied to more than just them being scared of what was going to happen next after they had seen the death and the burial of Jesus. They weren't anticipating the resurrection, but and they're kind of freaking out. Could this be true? It was almost too good to be true, but it was real. It was absolutely real. And on the Faith Explained program this week, we're looking at Easter evidence, some of the reasons, historical reasons, why you can believe that the resurrection actually happened. So make sure you check those episodes on the relevant radio app. But sometimes we have a lot of doubts, anxiety, questions in our hearts, fears. And I heard an incredible meditation from Father Connor Donnelly. He's an Irish priest who's serving right now in Africa. I believe he's in Kenya. And he's got a great, great podcast. And he talked about the joy of Easter and kind of how it defeats the anxiety in our lives. And I just want to share some of the things that he said. And this is straight from Father Connor Donnelly's mouth. It's just so, so good. And he talked about, first of all, the Regina Coeli. We've mentioned that this week. I love the fact that during the Easter season, we pray the Regina Coeli, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, hallelujah. And it kind of ends off by saying, the Lord has truly risen. He really has. He truly has. And because of that, we can really be joyful. And we can be hopeful, we can be optimistic, and really I think that's the antidote to anxiety, is optimism. Because anxiety, although we talked about this before the break, you know, from a human perspective, it can be our friend because it can tip us off to some things that maybe we should be worried about or thinking about and recognizing that need attention. But sometimes anxiety can be a weapon or a tool in the hands of the enemy. Yeah, just like sadness can be. We're going to talk about that too. Sadness can also be a tool in the hands of the enemy. More on that in just a minute. But I really want to get a print. There's this very famous photograph of St. Jose Maria Escrivá after the Spanish Civil War. And basically everything that the founder of Opus Dei, everything that he had worked for, everything that he had built, you know, God built through him, in Madrid, there was a student residence that was there, and it was all destroyed because in the Spanish Civil War, there was basically an all-out war against Catholics, and most people aren't even aware of the history of the Spanish Civil War. in the 1930s, and thousands of priests, nuns, religious were martyred, massive persecution. Anyway, so he's standing in the rubble of what used to be the DYA Student Academy, and he's just kind of looking at it. It looks like it's a depressing photo, like, because he's just like, man, like everything's been destroyed. And somebody once asked him, hey, what were you thinking when this photo was taken? And he said, optimism. Optimism. Like, even amidst the rubble, he was optimistic about what God was going to do. He had this Easter optimism, this Easter joy, this Easter hope. And I just love that. I want to get a portrait of this photo and get it framed. It's in black and white. It's a very, very powerful photo. And no matter how bad things might look from a human perspective, and there are certainly things that are troubling in this world, there's no question about it, but we still have so many reasons that we can thank God, that we can lift up our hearts and our minds to him for all the gifts that he has given to us, for all the blessings and the things that maybe we don't appreciate as much as we should. And Jesus said this to the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember in John chapter 4, he said, if you knew the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God. Well, we get so many gifts from God, and very often we don't appreciate them. The gift of sight, the gift of hearing. I know not everybody has that. It's been taken away from them. The ability to move around. And Jordan Peterson, on when we interviewed him on Easter, and you can check the interview that we did with Jordan Peterson on Monday's episode of the Cale Clark Show in the archives. You can also, of course, go to the Relevant Radio app. We've got a banner. We've got a video version of that interview also on YouTube with Jordan and Tammy Peterson when Tammy was received into the church this past Easter. And one of the things that Jordan Peterson kept talking about was gratitude. Gratitude. It's such an antidote for what ails us in life. And he sees this. He's not Catholic yet. I hope he does enter the church. I don't know if he will. Pray that he does. We've got to pray for him. He could really influence a lot of people. But St. Paul, who did convert, you know, he said this, another brilliant intellect, St. Paul, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So again, that's an imperative, just like don't be afraid is a command from God. Rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice, according to St. Paul. And so this is something we've got to do. How do we keep our joy in all these situations in which we're tempted to give in to anxiety or worry? Well, I think sometimes we have to maybe stop wallowing in some of the things that make us anxious. Before the break, we talked about it. There's a certain personality type that likes to ruminate and play things over. And I do this all the time. I replay things. I should have said this. I should have done that. That situation, man, I totally messed that up. Well, at some point, we've got to move on. We've got to abandon it into the hands of our Heavenly Father, who knows how to give good gifts to his children, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. So one thing that can help us to get rid of our anxiety, or at least to minimize it, is to make sure that we're taking care of our spiritual life. We are praying. We're trying to go to Mass as frequently as we can, spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. Because when we do these things, we're very, very close to God himself, who is the source of all authentic joy. And we can pass that on to other people as well who are clearly in need of this. I mean, let's face it. We live amongst people who are really, really struggling in life. There's no question about it. So this command to be joyful, actually, that command itself appears over 300 times in the Bible. So that should be a hint to us that we should really, really be paying attention to it. So how do we do this? So how do we supernaturally restore our joy when we've lost it? Again, keeping our spiritual upkeep fresh, making sure we're praying and mental prayer, doing our rosary, visits to the Blessed Sacrament, daily Mass if possible. Again, these acts of thanksgiving. Acts of thanksgiving, being grateful, that can help to bring it back. And sometimes we even have to thank God for what's causing us the anxiety. I know that might sound counterintuitive, but we can say, Lord, I thank you for this difficulty that I'm going through. I thank you for this cross, this contradiction. I don't understand it. I don't know exactly why this is happening to me right now, but I have to understand that you haven't taken your hands off the wheel here, that somehow your divine will is in the mix. And Jesus had to go through this as well. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, when they went to Egypt, when they had to fly into Egypt to escape the persecution of Herod, Matthew chapter 2. I mean, they probably were tempted to anxiety. And why is this happening now? This, hang on here. The Messiah is here. We should be full of peace and everything should be hunky-dory. But it wasn't that way. There were contradictions all the time. But they accepted the will of God and they just kind of got on with their business. And so this is the second thing we've got to do. Not only make acts of thanksgiving, but acts of abandonment to God's will. Speaking of St. Jose Maria, this is something he said actually in his spiritual masterwork called The Way. It's a series of maxims on the spiritual life. We can meditate on them, pray on them. Point number 766 in The Way. He says, abandonment to the will of God is the secret of happiness on earth, end of quote. So that's a pretty big statement. A lot of people are looking for the secret of happiness on earth. And tell me what it is, please. Can you bottle it? Can I buy it? Well, it's free. I'll tell you what it is. Abandonment to the will of God. Because very often when we are abandoned to the will of God, when we surrender our own plans, our own way of thinking about situations, people, things, handing it over to God, very often we can get a lot of joy and cheerfulness back in proportion to what we've abandoned to God's will. And this is part of this whole Jesus, I trust in you prayer from the Divine Mercy Chapel. And of course, it's Divine Mercy Chapel Sunday coming up. And this Sunday, and this is something my wife says to me all the time. And I don't know, fellas, my wife is probably the greatest spiritual director I've ever had because she knows me very, very well. And she's also a really prayerful soul. And she's always telling me, Cale, you know, when it comes to this person in your life or this situation, you've got to keep saying, Jesus, I trust in you. You've got to abandon it into his hands. You've got to lay it at his feet and really leave it there. And say, I don't know, just Jesus, I trust in you. You know what's going on. You've got the plan. You're going to work it out. So I do think there's a huge correlation there with how much we're abandoned, self-surrendered, how much we've given ourselves and our will over to God in proportion to the joy and peace that we're going to get in return. So we're going to hear more about this, hopefully, and more from you in just a second. We've got to take a break. We're up against the clock. 888-914-9149. We'll be back right after this.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149. We're talking about how to defeat anxiety, how God defeats anxiety in our lives. We talked about some of the natural remedies that we can use using the best info from science and our researchers who are working on things from a human level, but we also need the superhuman level. We need the supernatural, which doesn't erase the natural. We can build on it and use both, really. But ultimately, the victory over all that ails us, naturally and supernaturally, is found in Jesus Christ and the great victory of Easter. And you know, St. Paul says in the New Testament, in the letter to the Romans, he says, we've got to be patient in tribulation and joyful in hope. And that's really what Easter is all about. I mean, that's what Lent and Easter are all, patient in tribulation, right? Lent, the Passion, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then we've got to be joyful in hope. And of course, there was the hope of Our Lady that she held firm to on Holy Saturday and experienced the joy of the resurrection on Easter Sundays. We are all doing so right time. And so as we go through this journey, we've got to be very, very patient in our tribulations and dealing with our anxieties. We've got to be patient with ourselves. Sometimes it takes time to overcome these things. And there's a famous nun who once said that, hey, if God sends you tribulations, maybe it's because he wants you to tribulate. He wants you to tribulate. He wants you to kind of, he's allowing this to happen at some level because of something good that he wants to do in the future. He can turn it into joy, just like the pain and sadness of Good Friday was turned into the joy of Easter Sunday. Joy and cheerfulness, optimism. So if we do lose our joy, that can be a bit of a problem. And sometimes we lose it a little bit from time to time. We're human. There's certain situations that obviously make us sad at a human level. The loss of a loved one, for example, there's some bad news, contradiction. But if we're sort of constantly in this state of sadness, that can be a problem. And remember how I said that anxiety can be a tool in the hands of the enemy to get you to lose your hope, your trust, your peace. Sadness can be as well. Sadness can be very, very related sometimes to anxiety. St. Jose Maria liked to say that it was an ally of the enemy, an ally of the enemy. And Jesus was sad at times as well, certainly when the crowds were chanting, you know, crucify him, when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. He wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. It's not the way it's supposed to be, but we've got to understand that that wasn't his motif in general. And there's a Jesus movie, and I once met the actor who played Jesus in that movie. This is a kind of an more obscure movie, and the guy's name was Bruce Marciano, and he portrayed Jesus in a very interesting way because he was super joyful. He was a Jesus who showed emotion, especially joy. And I think the Jesus probably was very, very joyful. And he attracted, that was part of his attractiveness. And that's what will attract other people to us as well through the gospel. And so we've got to recover our cheerfulness quickly and understand that, yeah, we might be going through a tough time, but maybe the hand of God is in this somehow. So we are an Easter people. So this joy is meant to be a constant thing. If it's not there, we've got to do some spiritual digging. Maybe with a spiritual director, maybe hit the confessional. There's got to be something blocking this joy, because we are Easter people. We're not Good Friday people. We're Easter people. So we've got to bring these good tidings of great joy to ourselves as well as everybody. God can make it happen. So let's try and do that. Let's go to the phones right now. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Dr. John in Orlando. Hello, doctor. The doctor is in.
Hey. I'm very happy the doctor's in, and I'm very happy you've addressed this topic, Cale. I mean, I've been 35 years in family medicine, and easily half of my patients, you know, day in, day out, are suffering from some form of anxiety or depression.
Wow.
As I have. I mean, who hasn't, in a sense? And you hit it on the nail on the head. And I just wanted to share a couple of quick things I've gotten from some very important Catholic mentors in my life, and I'm fortunate enough to have been around long enough to learn.
Sure.
One of them was, you know, so that pretty much all anxiety and depression stems from unresolved grief, guilt, or anger.
Wow.
Right? Unresolved is the key word there. Grief,
unresolved.
Guilt, and anger. And that's something that, you know, people need to come to grips with. I had to come to grips with it in my own, as a child of divorce, you know, harboring a lot of anger towards my dad for decades.
Yeah.
And the doctor who told me that, a psychiatrist, actually a Catholic psychiatrist, amazing, you know, said you need to forgive your dad and move on, or you'll never be healthy mentally. So,
yeah.
I got that advice in my 30s. It changed the trajectory of everything in my life. And so dealing with that, and then not worrying about the future, right? Because Jesus says to do that all the time, and recognizing, as someone else told me, actually a physicist once talked to me about how our potential energy, you know, becomes actualized energy, and it is in the moment. In the exact moment, like right now, that God makes himself manifest to us in the moment. It's a very kind of a quantum physics kind of a concept, but I think you have to understand that we waste the moments, and that's that total abandonment to God's will is in the moment. And I try to share that with my patients. Sometimes they come in, obviously they're grieving, they're hurt, they're angry, they're sad, they're depressed, and I'm like, let's stop right now and realize what the Holy Spirit can do right now, in this moment. And we'll pray, you know, and I'll offer them one other thing for people who suffer from insomnia that's helped me for many years. Is my mother told me as a child, when you can't sleep, and of course, divorce situations lend themselves to that sometimes when parents are arguing, you know, say Hail Mary, and here's your rosary. I keep a little rosary at my bedside, and those Hail Marys, you know, are so effective at night. Mary takes care of us day and night. She's the most amazing mother. And so I do give my praises in the rosary, the gift of our faith, as often as I can share it. And again, I thank you for sharing this with the audience, because you have no idea how therapeutic this is for so many who suffer.
I'm kind of working on myself too, like I said, Dr. John. And I think, as you said, we all suffer with this at some level. We're all dealing with anxiety at some level. And I liked how you mentioned that sometimes it's from unresolved issues stemming from our youth or childhood. And we haven't really processed that yet. And I am not a psychiatrist, you know, not to be confused with Dr. Jordan Peterson. You know, I did interview him, but I tell you what, that is not my area of expertise. And so I defer to the experts on that stuff. But I do think that we can certainly, you know, from a spiritual point of view, turn to our Lord, turn to Our Lady, the power of the rosary as well. And we pray it every day here on Relevant Radio, 7 p.m. Central, the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. It's coming up later tonight. And maybe this is the spur you need to, hey, I'm going to join Father tonight and Maggie as we pray for all of our needs all across the country and all around the world, in our own homes, our hearts, our souls. So Dr. John, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. God bless. I hope you call back soon.
Thank you. You're welcome. Keep it up.
Yeah. Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to you. I feel like we could do about two or three different shows on anxiety for sure. So, but you wouldn't believe this. We've run up against the clock again. These hours just go so fast. So we can certainly pick up the discussion on anxiety. Joe in San Francisco, if you want to call back. Joe's always a great caller. It's good to hear from Joe. And sorry I didn't get to you, Joe, but so many others. Try back tomorrow. Once again, we will be back live again at 5 p.m. Central for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. But again, the victory of Christ over the grave, over every single enemy that assaults us, body, mind, and soul, including some of these, I guess sometimes it's because of the after effects of sin, even if it's been forgiven, concupiscence. We're naturally, humanly drawn to be anxious, but we've got to replace that anxiety with trust and say, Jesus, I trust in you, especially in this octave of Easter as we prepare for Divine Mercy Sunday coming up here this Sunday. And we'll be, of course, praying the chaplet every day on the Drew Mariani Show, 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio. This has been the Cale Clark Show. So good to be with you. Jim Schaefer produced. Miranda Siniceros took your phone calls. Be back again tomorrow. God bless you. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.